you this morning. Glad you're here. You'll want to pull out your Christchurch notes. They're there in your worship program. Go ahead and find those. Also, find a pen or a pencil on the seat back in front of you, if you will. There are several things I'm going to ask you to fill in today as we continue in part six of our study through the book of Philippians. It's Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. We call that the Philippians. And it is arguably the happiest book in the Bible, right? The happiest book in the Bible. So here we are today in chapter 4, and Paul gives us one of the greatest promises in the Bible. Right here in chapter 4, we find it in verse 19, and the reason I say that it's one of the greatest promises in all of the Bible is because this promise is absolutely inclusive, this promise is expansive, and this promise also encompasses all of the other promises in the Bible. And here it is, Philippians 4:19, and it says this, it says, "You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need, his generosity exceeding even yours, and the glory that pours from Jesus." In fact, let's say these first four words together that's underlined right there. Are you ready? Let's say it together. Ready? You can be sure. That's it. You can be sure. You know what that means? That means that this is not a hope. This is not a maybe. This is not a wish. But God's saying this is a guarantee. This is a certainty right here. God's saying, I guarantee that I will take care of everything you need with my generosity exceeding even yours. So let me ask, here's the big question, really. If this is true, why do you think you have some unmet needs? If this is true, why do you have unmet needs? I mean, is God telling us the truth here? I mean, or is he lying to us? You know, does he really mean that he's going to take care of all of our needs? I mean, whether they be emotional or physical or financial or relational or spiritual needs. You know, I mean, if this is the case, if this is true, if this promise is true, why do you think you have some unmet needs? Now, I've told you many times, you know, that with every promise, there comes a condition. There's a condition with every promise. With every promise, there's a premise. You know, in the Bible, there are about 7,000, that's a lot of promises, 7,000 promises where God says, if you'll do this, then I'll do that. If you'll do this, then I'll do that. And well, you know what that means is that, you know, we can't then claim Philippians 4:19 for ourselves, one of the greatest promises in all of the Bible. We can't claim it. That is, if we're not willing to do the premise, which is verses 14 through 18 right here. And in this passage, you know what Paul is talking about? He says, this passage is tied completely to generosity. This passage is tied totally to generosity. You can never, ever, 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 never, ever, ever outgive God. That's what he's talking about, that this promise of being able to claim Philippians 4:19 is tied to our generosity. Now, let me remind you of why Paul wrote this letter. You'll remember that Paul is in prison. What city is he in when he's in prison? He's in Rome, right? And he's awaiting his execution under the Caesar Nero. He's waiting it for his execution there. Prior to his arrest and prior to getting to Rome in prison, he established and planted churches across the Roman Empire. In one city, he planted a church in Corinth, and he wrote two letters to the church in Corinth. We call them 1st and 2nd Corinthians, right? Yeah. Then he planted a church in Philippi. We're studying through that book. It's the letter to the Philippians, yeah. And then he planted another church in Thessalonica, and he wrote two letters to them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And, you know, if Paul had planted Christ Church, he would have written to the Virginians. But, you know, you can see how he did it there. So when Paul was writing to the Philippians, he said this, and we're going to get to this in a second, but I'm going to give you a preview. He said, you know, you Philippians have been so incredibly generous with me. In fact, you helped me out not only once, but you helped me out twice. In other words, you know what we're reading here? When we read through the book of Philippians, we are reading Paul's thank you note to the church at Philippi for all of their incredible generosity to him. And he's constantly writing. When we read through Philippians, he's constantly writing about happiness and generosity. Happiness and linking it to generosity. Happiness and generosity. He's saying happiness and generosity go together. One of the keys to great happiness is your own generosity. You know, here's the deal. I tell people all the time, you know, that Christ Church is one of the happiest and most generous churches I have ever, well, I shouldn't say most, I would say it this way, that Christ Church is the happiest and most generous church that I have ever been a part of in my entire life. The happiest and most generous church I've ever been a part of in my entire life. In fact, Christ Church ranks as one of the most generous churches in our denomination in the state of Virginia. What you do to help the poor, what you do to help the sick, what you do to minister to those in prison is absolutely amazing. In fact, you are not only doing all of that, but you're providing a quality Christian education to 350 dirt poor children in far western bushes of Kenya. In fact, not only are you providing that quality Christian education, but you're actually building them right now, building them a proper school building. The school that they have now is made of mud and sticks and a tin roof and a dirt floor. Right now, what you've done just in the past few months is you have built a concrete foundation for a brand new school for them. Because when we were raising funds for our own Promised Land building that's going up on 123, our own next new church campus, we tithed that money back to the Hope Education Center, our Christ Church school over there in Kenya. And so far, we've gotten the foundation built already. So, you know, you just see what God is doing. And not only that, but just last weekend, guess what? Last weekend, you saved 400 lives. I kid you not. You've saved 400 lives last weekend by giving $4,000 in the communion offering to buy 400 mosquito nets to save lives through the Imagine No Malaria campaign. And even besides that, last weekend, you brought just about 1,600 cans of food to fill the food pantry over on Route 1 at our sister church, Rising Hope. I'm telling you guys, what you do is absolutely amazing. We see God at work in our midst, and God blesses us because of that. He blesses you as individuals, and he blesses us as a church as we continue to reach out in love and concern to the people around us in the world around us that we live in. I mean, this is a good deal. But I got to tell you this. As amazing as you are as a church, there was one church that had a better reputation than you. You know what church that was? Church Philippi. It was the Philippian church. They actually had a better reputation than Christ Church, the Church of Philippi. In fact, get this. When Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, you know, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he was writing in 2nd Corinthians at this time, and he was writing there to the church at Corinth, and he was actually bragging to the Corinthians about the Philippians and about their generosity. It's on your outline. Check it out right there. From it's the context of our teaching today from 2nd Corinthians chapter 8. And Paul is writing, and he says this. He says, "My friends, we want you to know that the churches in Macedonia have shown others how kind God is." Now, let me stop right there for a second and tell you. He's referring specifically to the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi was in Macedonia, and he was specifically referring to them. Number two, he says, "Although they were going through hard times and were very poor, they were glad to give generously." I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. Extreme poverty. That church was in extreme poverty, going through some very difficult times, but they still wanted to give. Verse 3, they gave as much as they could afford and even more simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged us to let us have the joy of, let them have the joy of giving their money for God's people. And they did more than we had hoped. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, just as God wanted them to do. So folks, right here, the Philippian church, I think, was the most generous church on the planet at the time. So I got to ask you this question. Could God brag about your generosity? Can God brag about your specific generosity? I mean, you know, there are really two kinds of people in life, you know, the givers and the takers. We really need to make a choice of which one you're going to be. You have to make a choice. You know, am I going to be a giver or am I going to be a taker? I told you a couple of weeks ago that the root of the word miserable is the word miser. Miser. Misers are miserable. Misers are miserable. Let's say that together. Misers are miserable. There you go. They go together. The more generous I am, Paul says, the happier I'll be. One of the great God-established laws of the universe is this one. You always reap what it is you sow. You always, whatever you plant, you're going to harvest. Whatever you give out, you're going to get back. And it happens in every area of your life. I mean, if you give out praise, you're going to get praise in return. If you give out love, you're going to get love in return. If you give out gossip, guess what you're going to get back? You're going to be gossiped about. But if you're generous, people will be generous to you. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look through the book here of Philippians, and I'm going to show you how you can claim that great promise of all time, Philippians 4:19, that God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I'm going to show you how you can claim that promise. Remember, with every promise, there is a premise. With every promise, there's a premise. If you want to claim it, here we go. Number one, here's what we do. When I'm generous, I earn the gratitude of others. When I'm generous, I earn the gratitude of others. That is, you go up in esteem, you go up in reputation, you go up in people loving and being grateful to you the more it is that you are a giver. You know, I was thinking this week that, you know, when you think about the people in your life, who do you tend to be most grateful for? And as I was thinking about that, I realized that I'm most grateful for the people who've invested in me, who've invested their time in me, who've invested their energy in me, who've invested their patience in me, who've invested their money in me, you know, whatever it may be. The people that you tend to be most grateful for are the people who've invested in you. I mean, rarely are you truly grateful for the stingy people in your life, right? I mean, it's true. Truly, you're rarely grateful for the stingy people in your life. You know, let me say it this way. Go ahead and put it on the screen right here. You earn a living by what you make, but you make a life by what you give. You know, there's no reference to that because it was falsely said that Winston Churchill said it, but it's not true. I don't know who made that up, but I love what it says. You earn a living by what you make, but you make a life by what you give. I mean, that is, you earn the respect of others, you earn the gratitude of others, you earn a legacy, you earn a reputation by what it is that you give. You earn a living by what you make, but you make a life by what you give, and you earn the gratitude of others. Paul gives us this example right here in chapter 4. Check out, this is what he says. He says, "How grateful I am, and how I praise the Lord that you're helping me again. It was good of you to help me when I was having such a hard time. And you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news." Look at this next line. "No other church did this. You helped out not only once, but twice. And I'm generously supplied with the gifts that you sent me." In fact, let's look at the next one from Philippians chapter 1. It says this, every time I think of you, there you go, you're earning the gratitude of others, right? And Paul is saying, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. You earn the gratitude of others by your giving. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. So it's right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God. So let me ask you this question. Is anyone grateful for your generosity? Are there those that you know that are grateful for your generosity? See, that's the first benefit of being a generous person, is that when I'm generous, I earn the gratitude of others. All right, so now that's number one. Let's look at number two. When I'm generous, I become more like Jesus. When I'm generous, I become more like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was the most generous person that ever lived. Jesus was a giver. Yeah, that's why being generous makes us more like Jesus, because giving is the essence of God. Hear that again. Giving is the essence of God. I mean, the Bible teaches us that you and I, we were created in the image of God. That means you and I are the image bearers of God in the world. We're the image bearers of God in the world. And because God is a giver, God created you too to be a giver. God's a giver. If God wasn't a giver, none of us would even be sitting here right now. That's because everything in our life, your life and my life, is a sheer gift from God. If God wasn't a giver, I'd have absolutely nothing. The air we breathe, the sun that shines down on us, my heart that's beating right now and yours too. I didn't earn this life, but I was given this life out of the sheer generosity of God. If God wasn't generous, I wouldn't have even been created, and neither would you. In fact, look what James had to say. James in the New Testament, he said this. He said, every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. Where does it come from? Read. It comes down from God. There it is. It comes down from God. Every good and perfect present comes down. Every good gift, every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor, just wait. Hold your horses. I earned everything that I've got. Well, where did you get the ability to earn it? You say, well, I thought all this stuff up. Well, where in the world did you get your brain? You know, when you think about it, it all comes from the gift of God. Everything, the eyes that we see, the ears that we hear, the heart that beats, gift from God because God is generous. In fact, Bible teaches us this, for God so loved the world that he gave, and he gave his only son. That's right. God so loved us that he gave, and he gave his only son. You see, you're the image bearer of God in the world. You're the image bearer of God in the world. Here, I want you to put this in your notes. Here's a great quote. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. I want you to hear that again. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Every time you're generous, there's a change that happens in you. And you know what it is? You become more like Jesus. You become more loving every time you give. Here's the scripture right here from from Philippians 1. Go ahead and put it on the screen right there. Here it is. It says, your lives will be filled with the truly good qualities which only Jesus Christ can produce for the glory and praise of God. As you become generous, your lives will be filled with the true good qualities that only come from Jesus Christ, that only he can produce for the glory and praise of God. Okay, so when I'm generous, what happens? I earn the gratitude of others, right? And second, I become more like who? Like Jesus. Earn the gratitude of others and become like Jesus. Let's say that together. I earn the gratitude of others and become like Jesus. All right, here it is. Number three, I strengthen my faith when I'm generous. When I'm generous, I strengthen my faith. My faith grows stronger. You know, why is that? Because when I take something that I've got, and instead of using it on me, I either give it to the Lord or use it for someone else, then I have to depend upon God. That is, every time I give, my faith grows stronger. Every time I give, it's like a muscle. It just makes me stronger in my faith. In fact, check this out. From Philippians 4:6, we spent some time on that last weekend, right? It says, do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. In other words, I'm going to depend on God to meet my need. You know, the reason that Rosemary and I, my wife Rosemary and I, are such rabid believers in tithing is because we're living examples that when you trust God in tithing, God will build your faith, strengthen your faith, and He will bless your life. We are rabid believers in tithing because we're living examples of what God has done through there. And you say, well, wait a minute, John. He said, you say, it's expensive to live here in Northern Virginia. Well, I know. I live here. I've lived here for 23 years. I know how expensive it is to live here. You say, well, you know, I've got bills to pay and a mortgage to pay. I know. I do too. You know, you say, well, I've got some kids going to college. I know. I've got two in college right now. And we're still tithing. We still pay God first. You know, in fact, I've not told this story publicly, but I'm going to tell it to you, and I'm doing so very cautiously because I don't ever want you to think I'm ever pointing to myself at anything, because it's all about what God is doing. And here's the story. It's a very personal story. In when our son Hunter was in fifth grade, he could not read. He had a learning disability, dyslexia, and he could not read. He was in fifth grade and was at a first grade level reading. I mean, it was everything that he could do to see, spot, run. It was that bad. And Rosemary and I struggled with what to do. Ever since he was in first grade, we had had extra pull-out time for him in school to try to teach him to read, and it just was not happening. And we had to make a gut-wrenching decision to pull Hunter out of public school and put him into a private school that had a scientific reading base that could teach him how to read. From sixth grade to 12th grade, it cost us $25,000 a year, to put Hunter into that school. Now, you talk about a test of faith on a preacher's salary. There you have it. You can do the math. It was $175,000 just to get him to college. And I want you to know that we tithed the entire time. And somehow, some way, God made it all possible. We're living, breathing examples that God will bless your socks off. He'll bless your socks off if you just have the courage to step out and tithe. And I never say any of this to say, oh, look at what John did. No, this is look at what God did. This is not about me at all. This is about the Lord and what He has done to make the impossible possible. It strengthens your faith. It makes you more like Jesus. You earn the gratitude of others, and God will bless your socks off. That's the promise of God. And it sets you up to be able to claim Philippians 4:19, that God will meet all of my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we were able to go on great, wonderful vacations all the time, because we couldn't. That doesn't mean that we had the best and biggest of anything or everything, because we couldn't. But I tell you what, we never missed a meal. In fact, I had to start going to the gym because I was getting fat. God will bless your socks off. All right. You earn the gratitude of others when you're generous. What else? You become more like Jesus. Number three, what does it do? It strengthens your faith. Here's number four. It makes God smile. When I'm generous, I make God smile. When I'm generous, I make God smile. In fact, we see it here in Philippians 4:18, the one right before that says this, your gifts, Paul was writing again to the church at Philippi, and he said, your gifts are like a soothing aroma, a sacrifice that God accepts and with which, what? He is pleased. That's right. God is pleased when you are stepping out and being generous, when you're being that biblical steward in your life. You know, generous giving is an act of worship that makes God smile. That's why I say most every week, you know, before the ushers come with the plate, what we're about to do is worship. That's what I tell you. I've been teaching you this because that's what it is. It is an act of worship that makes God smile. It builds your faith. It makes you more like Jesus, in other words. You know, for those of you who are parents, I mean, how many of you are happy when your children refuse to share their toys? You know, not many of us, I can imagine. But we're happy when they are generous. We're happy when they do learn how to share. And guess what? God feels the same way about his children. And that's us. When we learn to share, when we're learning to share our toys, you know, that God loves it when his kids learn to be generous. Every time you're generous, you're not selfish. And when you're sharing your time or your energy or your effort or your money, God says, that's my boy or that's my girl. Look how wonderfully generous she is. Look how wonderfully generous he is. They're my kids, God is saying. You know, why? Because God takes pride, like father, like son. God's the most generous one in the universe, and he wants his children to be just like him. It's one of the habits of happiness. So, here's the thing. God wants you to use what you've been given. He wants you to use what you've been given. He's watching to see how generous you are. So, this, everything that I just said, is the premise behind this great promise of Philippians 4:19. It says, you know, that when you give, you become more like Jesus. When you give, you strengthen your faith. When you give, you make God smile. When you're giving, you're earning the gratitude of others. And it puts you in a position to claim Philippians 4:19, where he says, go ahead and put it on. Here's the promise. Then, that is, if you do the premise, then what happens? Let's read. God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know, I think we ought to memorize that. Go ahead and put it up again on the screen, if you would. Change the scripture there to the next one. And here it is. You know, the hardest thing to remember is where something is in the Bible. Would you agree? It's hard to remember the address. So that's why when we memorize it, we say the address first, then the verse, then the address again. So let's say it together. We're going to memorize this. Ready? Philippians 4:19, God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. You know, he says right here, God will meet what? All my needs. How is he going to meet them? In Christ Jesus. You know, he's saying right here, I'm going to do it. It's not a hope. It's not a wish. It's not a maybe. It is a certainty. It's a guarantee. If you do the premise, he says, Philippians, here it goes, Philippians 4:19, God will meet all my needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Folks, you've got to remember the premise before you can claim the promise. And so I'm going to ask you the question, are you generous? Do you trust him? Because that is the key to the promise. Do you get it? Good. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. We're just going to thank you right now. Thank you for all the things that you've given us. Thank you for making me and for creating me. Thank you for the ways that you've gifted me. Thank you that you've saved me. Thank you for your freedom, for health, for eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you for my husband or my wife, my kids, my grandchildren. Thank you for this church and the many, many dear friends that I love. And thank you, God, for the joy of having a purpose in life. And I thank you for how you've blessed my life. And I could go on and on, Lord, but beginning today, I want to thank you by giving. So teach me, Lord, to be a biblical steward and give me the courage to step up to tithing so that I can earn the gratitude of others, that I can become more like your son, Jesus, that I can make you smile, Lord, and that I can strengthen my faith. And folks, if you've never accepted Christ into your heart, you know, the first thing you need to do is give yourself to God. That's what the Philippians did. They gave themselves to God first. And so in the quietness of your own heart, you may want to pray something like this. Jesus Christ, thank you for all that you've given me. I want to give myself to you. I want my life to be in the center of your plan. And I want to live for the purpose that you've made me. I want to trust you and to follow you and to learn to love you more. God, I give myself to you right now. And I pray for the courage to follow. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.